أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. صلوات عليك. In these majalis on the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, we are looking at the issue that what does it mean to be the Shia of Ali? And the way of answering that question is to look at the companions of Ali, because they are the ones who will be the examples and role models for us. And in that pursuit, we have looked at the example of Salman al-Farsi. Then we looked at the example of Abu Zar al-Ghifari. And in today's afternoon majlis, we looked at the example of a lady from the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen by the name of Sauda bin Ammar al-Hamdaniya. And tonight, inshallah, I'll be talking about briefly about Miqdad. But before I come to that, again, I would like to go back to the conceptual basis of my discussion, that Iman is not a static thing. It has different levels, and we have to constantly work hard to reach to the higher levels. As the sixth Imam said that, you know, Miqdad was on the eighth level, Abu Zar on the ninth, and Salman was on the tenth level. I also explained this example, this phenomenon, in relation to the amal. It's not only Iman, even the quality of amal is influenced by the Iman, and the Iman is also influenced, it would even influence the Iman. And so they interact with one another. In our discussion, it was important for me to point out again and again that when we look at the hadith about the ashab of Rasulullah, you should not be worried that, oh, where is Ali? As I said, you know, this question of if Salman is on the 10th level, where is Ali? It doesn't rise there. When you talk about the Ahlul Bayt, لا يقاس بهم أحد, these are their words. Nobody is to be compared to them. Their standard is completely different. Remember the hadith from the sixth Imam last night, talking about the 12 months, four of them are considered to be sacred: Rajab, Zilqa'dah, Zilhijjah, and Muharram. An Imam asked this companion, when he asked this question about Abu Zar, that who, there is nobody more truthful than him on the earth. And that's where Imam said, what about the month of Ramadan? It's not one of those 4 months. And then Imam said, remember Laylatul Qadr. That one Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan is more, you know, weighty, more important and significant than 1,000 months. So don't look at the Ahlul Bayt from that perspective. Yesterday when we talked about Abu Zar, there was a hadith where the Prophet says, Abu Zar fi ummati shabihu Isa ibn Maryam fi zuhdihi wa wara'ihi. That Abu Zar in my ummah is similar to Isa ibn Maryam in his asceticism and his abstinence, his zuhd and taqwa. And this is again, you know, one side point I would like to mention. I didn't talk about it last night. Some of the modern, you know, days Muslim intellectuals, they have this habit of always looking at what is the trendy ideology, current ideology. And then they try to fit Islam in that, instead of looking at Islam by itself. You know, so there was a time in 60s, 70s, when socialism was the, you know, a trend, the fashion among the intellectuals. If you're a socialist, then you are, you know, yeah, he's there. And so some of these intellectuals, Muslim intellectuals in Pakistan, in Egypt, they started to say, okay, how do we relate that to Islam? And they came up with the example of Abu Zar, because of his simple life, because of his struggle against the nepotism of Osman and the wrong, you know, unjust distribution of Baitul Mal, they said, oh, Abu Zar was a socialist. If Abu Zar was a socialist, then even Isa would be the socialist, according to this hadith of Rasulullah. You know, this is not, Abu Zar is not a socialist, he was a Muslim. You know, you look at the Islamic values. And so, when we look at the example of Abu Zar being like Isa alayhi salam, you know, some people might say, well, what about Ali then? And again, I would say the same thing. Don't compare Ahlul Bayt to the Sahaba. There's two different standards you're talking about. If you are worried that if Rasulullah has mentioned Abu Zar as Shabih Isa ibn Maryam, similar to Isa ibn Maryam, then what is the position of Ali? If you're that much worried about it, I'll narrate to you a hadith of Rasulullah quoted by at least 25 Sunni muhaddiseen about Ali ibn Abi Talib, where the Prophet says, "Man arada an yanzura ila Adam fi ilmihi wa ila Nuh fi taqwahi وإلى إبراهيم في حلمه وإلى موسى في هيبته وإلى عيسى في عبادته." Whoever would like to look at Adam in his knowledge, Nuh in his piety, Ibrahim in his forbearance, Musa in his reverence, Isa in his ibadat and worship, فَلَيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. You should look at Ali. That was only one example there. You got worried. Oh, where is Ali? But this is where Ali is. All the good qualities, the most outstanding qualities of all the great prophets, if you want to see it gathered in one personality, that is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat min akbar. And so we come to one of the companions, Miqdad. Again, Salman, Abu Dhar, Miqdad, Ammar, these are the people who were known as the Shia of Ali during the lifetime of Rasulullah. Miqdad bin al-Aswad, his actual name is Miqdad bin Amr al-Bahra'i. He was an Arab, from an Arab tribe between the Arabian Peninsula and Sham those days. And because of the strife and problems in that area, his father migrated to Mecca. But you know, during the old days there, if you are an outsider, you would not have your security of your life or property unless you attach yourself to one of the local tribes. And they become your halif or kafil. Those who have worked in the Middle East, you know. If you want to even start a business there, you have to have a local partner. And there is no guarantee, you might take away everything and legally you don't have anything. So he's your kafil, basically. Once you are attached to him, then his protection would be extended to you also. So Miqdad's father, when he migrated to Mecca, he became client, this is the term used, mawla, halif, of the tribe, the clan known as Abu Zuhra of Quraysh, one of the tribes in Mecca. And so this person from Abu Zuhra became his kind of sponsor. And with that, you know, now he would have all the privileges and security and safety to live in Mecca and do his business. And this person's name was Aswad, Al-Aswad bin Abdul Zuhri. Later on, this sponsor ended up adopting Miqdad. And according to the Arab tradition before Islam, you know, his name was now changed, Miqdad bin Al-Aswad. And that's how actually even he's known even now popularly. Later on, when Islam came and Islam abolished the system of giving the name of other people to, you know, your family name, then he again became Miqdad bin Amr al-Bahra'i. He is among those who became Muslim during the very early days. Among the first seven people, Miqdad is counted among them. But because he was adopted by this Zuhri family clan, he could not publicly, support Rasulullah or claim that I'm a Muslim. He lived in Taqiyya. Until the opportunity came in the first year of the Hijrah that he was able to join a group of Muslims under Hamza, who were around, close to Mecca at that time, coming from Medina, just as a surveillance group, the military mission they had. And this is where Miqdad joins them and basically runs away from Mecca and goes to Medina. He was a very courageous fighter from before Islam. And because of that, he also participated in all the battles with Rasulullah, and he had a very, active role. Especially, he was known to be somebody, a champion on, fighting on the horse. So he was sometimes known as Faris Rasulullah. And he also was many times assigned the duty of guarding Rasulullah during the battle time, so he's also known as Haris Rasulullah, the guard of Rasulullah. However, the good quality of our Miqdad, and this is something we have to keep in mind, having a sword or knowing how to, fight is not sufficient. You should also understand your cause. You should be a responsible fighter. Why you are doing this? And there is a very interesting conversation between Miqdad and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which is also quoted besides our own books, even in Bukhari. And this is a hypothetical situation that Miqdad is asking Rasulullah. And it's a living question because it's relevant to the Muslim world even now. He says, Rasulullah, if suppose I'm fighting with the kuffar, and, I am there with this kafir, we are fighting against one another, and then for a moment he is able to gain upper hand, and he cuts my hand. But then I attack him more severely. And he jumps and goes on the tree, on the branch of the tree. And when I'm very close to end him and kill him, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. What do I do at that time? Now look at the circumstances. Of course, this guy is just saying it to save his own life, because he was fighting him. He even cut his hand. And Rasulullah says, you can't do it. You can't kill him now, because he said the shahadatain. And Miqdad said, but look at the way he was fighting with me. He even cut my hand. Rasulullah then says, Miqdad, if you kill him after he says, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadun Rasulullah, then your status will change. Your maqam will change. He will be in the place of a Muslim, you will be in the place of kafir. So this issue of sanctity of a life is very important. In warfare, of course, you will fight. But if the opponent ends up and saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, even it might not be, you cannot really know what is in his heart and mind. But once he utters the kalima, you cannot kill that person. But what is happening there? In Syria and Iraq, look at the attitude of those who call themselves Islamic State. Look at in Afghanistan, even in Pakistan to some extent, even now in the Afghan-Pakistan border. These are the people who are killing, not just those who are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. They actually go into the masjid to kill them. And this is where we come to realize that, this is how they have moved away from the true image and teachings and values of Islam. If you really want to see what is Islam, look at the Quran. Look at the teachings of Rasulullah. Look at the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Look at people like Miqdad bin Aswad. They are our role models and examples. Salawat. There is a narration in the Sunni books also, and this is from actually a Shia source from our sixth Imam. In the praise of Miqdad, where the Prophet once said, "Inna Allah amarani bi hubbi arba." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to love four individuals. So there's Ashab who is sitting there. Now everybody wants to know to see whether my name is included in those four or not. So they said, "Man hum ya Rasulullah?" And Rasulullah said, "Ali bin Abi Talib." And then he was silent. He said, "Four." He took the name of Ali and then he was silent. And then again he says, "Inna Allah amarani bi hubbi arba." Again silent. Again they said, "Ya Rasulullah." Rasulullah knows this psychology. He wanted to just increase their anxiety there to know who are these four people. He mentions Ali because they know Ali would be there anyway. But who are the other three names? He does this two times. And only third time when they say, "Waman hum ya Rasulullah," the Prophet says, "Ali bin Abi Talib, wal Miqdad bin Aswad, wa Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, wa Salman al-Farsi." Salawat. And this is where we have to realize when we talk about those who are Shia of Ali during the lifetime of Rasulullah. Another very interesting description of Miqdad from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says, "Innama manzilat al-Miqdad bin al-Aswad fi hadhihi al-ummah." The position or status of Miqdad in this ummah, kamanzilati alif fil Quran, it is just like the status of alif, the first alphabet in Arabic. He says the way alif there is in Quran, and then he describes it, la yalzaqu biha shay. When you write alif in the beginning, you can't join anything with it. It's by itself. And if you write alif later on, after some other alphabets, it will be the last one. Because if you join that with something else, it becomes lam in between. When you join lam, you know, it's connected to one side and the other side. But if it's alif, it will be there by itself. And so this is where the sixth Imam is saying that the position of Miqdad is very unique. He's by himself. Salawat. Remember Banu Zuhra, this clan of Quraysh in Mecca. They are the one who sponsored his father. One of their members of that clan was Abdurrahman bin Auf, a very prominent figure in the Muslim history. And one day, Miqdad was sitting with him, and probably because of that familiarity, because he was supported by that clan, Abdurrahman bin Auf asked him, "Then why don't you get married, Miqdad?" This is in Medina. Miqdad looked at him and he said, "What about your daughter? Would you give your daughter to me?" Now remember, you know, upper class, lower caste. This is elite. Banu Zahra, Qurayshi, Arab. Miqdad is also Arab, of course. But he is the Mawla, client of the tribe. And so there is a social, you know, difference. Abdurrahman bin Auf considers himself to be from the elite. He became very angry. He said, "How dare even you propose the marriage with my daughter?" He said, "Well, you were asking me, why don't I get married?" I said, "What about your daughter?" And he said bad things to him, and you know, Miqdad became angry. And this is where we have to come realize that, you know, these Arabs, they became Muslim, but this disease of racism was still there. It continued even after Rasulullah became official policy in the Khilafat of the second Khalifa. And this is not tabarra anything, this is actually historical facts, which even became more, you know, disturbing during the time of the third Khalifa. And so Miqdad became kind of upset with the attitude of Abdurrahman bin Auf, and he went to the Prophet and he complained about the attitude of Abdurrahman bin Auf. What does Rasulullah do? He says, Miqdad, don't worry, I will get you married. When you read the story, initially, you know, even my thought was maybe Rasulullah will stand up and go with Miqdad to Abdurrahman bin Auf and say, I am proposing the marriage now. But no, he doesn't do that. He says, Miqdad, don't worry. I will get you married to my cousin. This is where practically Rasulullah abolishes this whole class system in society. Once you become a Muslim, once you are a mu'min, it is your taqwa and nothing else. What tribe you belong to, what race you belong to, that doesn't count. And this is where the Prophet then got Miqdad bin Aswad married to Zuba'a bint Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib. And Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam actually explains that. He did this in order to make people realize that when it comes to the compatibility in marriage, the main thing is iman and taqwa and nothing else. Salawat. Miqdad is counted among the very loyal followers of Ali, the early Shias. He was among those 10 to 12 people who refused to do bayat with Abu Bakr. And actually, he is one of those who had the courage to stand up during those very crucial days, early days, in the gathering and criticize Abu Bakr openly. He uses very strong words. He says, Ya Abu Bakr, arbi ala nafsik. Look at your own measure, not physically. You know, what is your standard? Waqis shibraka bifitrik. You know, try to look at your size. Are you fit for this position? Ilzim baytik, go home and stay in home. Wabki ala khati'atik, and cry for your sin and mistake that you have done. Because this is better for you in your life and your death. وَرُدَّ هَذَا الْعَمْرَ حَيْسُ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and return this position to the one that Allah and Rasul had appointed. Do not go towards the dunya. ثُمَّ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَيُجِيزِكَ. Remember, a day will come when you will be presented in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will, you know, recompense for whatever you are doing. قَدْ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْعَمْرَ لِعَلِيٍّ. You know that this position belongs to Ali ibn Abi Talib. وَهُوَ صَاحِبُهُ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He is the one who is the successor after Rasulullah. قَدْ نَصَحْتُكَ إِنْ قَبِلْتَ نُصْحِي. I have advised you sincerely if you would listen to me. Very similar words that Amir al-Mu'minin himself has used in his third khutbah when he says, لَقَدْ تَقَمَّسَهَا إِبْنَ أَبِي قُحَافَ. تَقَمَّسَ from قَمِيس, you know, shirt. Means Abu Bakr has put on a shirt which doesn't fit him. It doesn't fit him. It is of my size. And he should know that my position in Khilafat and in Ummah is like the position of the axis between the handmill. And he was, in the words of one of the Imams, that Miqdad was so much obedient to Ali that during those early days, he would just sit there with his hand on the sword, قائماً قابضاً على قائم السيف عيناه في عين أمير المؤمنين, looking at the face of Ali all the time, waiting for him, not by his own wish or desire, whatever Ali would say. Again, we see when the second Khalifa was killed and he appointed six people before he died as the committee to choose the Khalifa there also, publicly he stands there. In order to advise the committee members there, he says, أيها الناس اسمعوا ما أقول. Listen to me what I'm saying. أنا المقداد بن عمر. I am مقداد. Know my background. إنكم إن بايعتم عليا سمعنا واطعنا. If you select Ali and do bayat to him, we will accept it and obey. وَإِن بَايَعْتُمْ عُثْمَانَ سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا. And if you do bayat to Uthman, we will hear that, but we will not obey him. We will disobey him. And he was very vocal opponent of Uthman, to the extent that when we look at, you know, Miqdad, when he died in the year 33rd of after Hijrah, he even used his own death and funeral as a protest against the system of Khilafat. A prominent Sahabi like Miqdad has passed away. He died in a property he had just outside Medina. They brought his janaza to Medina, to Baqi. He is buried there. And according to the custom at that time, and the protocol demanded that the Khalifa would come and do the janaza of this prominent companion of Rasulullah. But Miqdad had very specific will when he died, saying that I don't want Uthman to do the janaza on me. He said, I want my brother Yasir, Ammar bin Yasir, to recite the janaza. This was a very strong, you know, so even in his death, he gives a message to Uthman that I do not consider you worthy for this. And so these are the ashab that we have to see, and this is where we have to look at the issues, the social position that they had, how they interacted with the Prophet, how the Prophet dealt with them. And that is the example that we have to keep in our mind. Salawat Pranek Parar. Ali ka Shia hona aasan kaam nahi hai. اس کے تقاضے ہیں, ڈیمانڈز ہیں, ذمہ داریاں ہیں. کوشش کرنی چاہیے, ہم لوگ کامل اور اکمل نہیں ہیں, لیکن ہمارے ان تمام مجالس میں جو مثالیں ہم نے دی ہے, سلمان فارسی کی, ابو ذر غفاری کی, سعودہ بنت عمار الحمدانیہ کی آج دوپہر میں, تاکہ اندازہ ہو کہ ہمارے سسٹرز کو بھی, کہ صرف مردوں کی بات نہیں ہو رہی ہے, خواتین بھی اس زمرے میں شامل ہیں. مقداد کی جو بات ہو رہی ہے, یہ لوگ آرڈینری ہیومن بینگس تھے ہماری طرح, یہ معصوم نہیں تھے. کوئی فارس میں سے ہے تو کوئی عرب میں سے ہے, کوئی جو ہے پرومیننٹ ٹرائب میں سے ہے تو کوئی جو ہے آرڈینری ٹرائب میں سے ہے, لیکن وہ چیز جس نے ان کو ایک ساتھ جمع کیا ہے وہ ولایت علی بن ابی طالب ہے, اور اسی بنیاد پر ہم اپنی زندگی ہمیں بسر کرنی ہے. مقداد نے اپنی موت کو بھی ایک ذریعہ بنا دیا علی کی حمایت کے لیے, نماز جنازہ کے سلسلے میں. لیکن علی صرف اپنی زندگی میں مظلوم نہیں تھے, علی شہادت کے بعد بھی مظلوم رہے. امام نے وصیت کی تھی اپنے اولاد سے, خصوصاً امام حسن سے, کہ یہ ہمارے دشمن جو ہیں, خصوصاً ابھی بھی جن کے دل میں بغض ہے, یہ کوشش کریں گے کہ میری قبر کو تلاش کر کے, کھود کر میرے جنازے کی بھی بے حرمتی کریں. یعنی آپ سوچ لیں کہ رسول کے داماد کزن فاطمہ کے شوہر مرتے وقت بھی یہ فکر ہے کہ میرے بعد کیا ہوگا. یہ مظلومیت ہے علی کی. کہتے ہیں کہ دیکھو نجف اس زمانے میں کوئی آباد علاقہ نہیں تھا, کوفہ مین شہر تھا. کہ نجف کی طرف جانا اور آگے بڑھ کے گھر سے دور ہونے کے بعد تمہیں ڈائریکشن نہیں ڈھونڈنا ہے, تابوت کے آگے جو ہے تمہیں کچھ نہیں کرنا ہے, یہ ملائکہ ہوں گے جو لے کے جائیں گے اور وہاں ایک قبر خودی ہوگی جہاں ہمیں دفن کرنا. یہ جناب آدم نوح کے درمیان جو قبر خودی ہے. چھٹے امام کے زمانے میں یہ بتایا گیا ہے, چھٹے امام نے کہا ہے کہ امام کی قبر کیا ہے. لیکن پھر بھی مولا سے کہیں گے آپ کم سے کم وصیت کر سکے تھے نا. امام کا جب جنازہ اٹھا ہے دشمنوں کو کنفیوز کرنے کے لیے تین جنازے اٹھائے گئے ہیں, تین الگ الگ ڈائریکشن میں, تاکہ یہ معلوم نہ ہو کہ علی کا جنازہ کہاں جا رہا ہے. بی بی فاطمہ کا جنازہ مدینہ میں اٹھا تھا, ہزاروں کی تعداد میں مسلمان تھے, لیکن بی بی جو ہے مظلومیت کے خاطر کہتی ہے مجھے تاریکی شب میں میرے جنازے کو اٹھانا, اور جو ظالم ہے ان کو خبر نہ ہو. وہی کیفیت علی کی ہے. جنازہ اٹھتا ہے, تین تابوت الگ الگ نکالے گئے تاکہ دشمن کو اندازہ نہ ہو کہ صحیح تابوت کون سا ہے, اور صرف جو خاص اصحاب اور گھر والے جو افراد تھے وہ جاتے ہیں. اور جس طرح سے امام نے کہا تھا کہ ملک جو ہیں وہ آگے آگے رہیں گے, تابوت کو آگے لے کے جائیں گے, عزدارہ حسین وہاں جب پہنچے ہیں قبر تیار ملی ہے, امام کو وہاں لحد میں رکھا گیا ہے اور دفن کر دیا گیا ہے. اس کے بعد امام کے ایک صحابی جن کا نام سعس بن سوہان تھا, جو بہت ہی وفادار بھی تھے اور بہت ہی اچھے خطیب بھی تھے, علی اکثر کہتے تھے سعس بن سوہان کھڑے ہو تقریر کرو, وہاں پر سعس بن سوہان نے علی کے قبر کی مٹی کو اٹھایا, اپنے سر کے اوپر ڈالتے ہیں, پھر کچھ جملے کہیں قبر پر جس میں پرسا تھا حسن اور حسین کے لیے, محمد حنفی اور عباس ان کے بھائیوں کے لیے اور خاندان کے افراد کے لیے, بس مولا سے اتنا کہیں گے مولا آپ کی قبر بنی ہے. سعس بن سوہان جیسے شخص وہاں موجود تھا کہ جس نے ایک مرثیہ پڑھا ہے, حسن اور حسین کو تسلی دی ہے, لیکن اس مجمع میں ایک چھوٹا بچہ بھی تھا جس کا نام علی زین العابدین ہے. اس نے اس منظر کو اس وقت یاد کیا ہوگا کہ جب وہ کربلا سے روانہ ہو رہا تھا کہ اے بابا آپ موجود تھے آپ کے بابا کو دفن کرنے کے لیے, لوگوں نے آپ کے پرسا دیا تھا, لیکن ہاں یہ جوان بیٹا زندہ ہے لیکن کربلا چھوڑ کے جا رہا ہے, باپ کے لاشے کو بے گور و کفن. عزداران حسین جس طرح سے امام نے وصیتیں کی تھی اور زینب اور ام کلثوم کو بھی یہ بات بتائی گئی تھی کہ دیکھو یہ میری جسم کی بے حرمتی نہ ہو, لہذا قبر کا نشان کسی کو نہیں بتایا جائے گا, مخفیانہ طور پہ دفن کریں گے. عزداران حسین یہ علم زینب کو بھی تھا, لیکن عجب نہیں کہ عصر عاشور زینب نے آواز دی ہو بابا آپ کو اپنے لاش کی بے حرمتی کی فکر. اس لیے آپ کا جنازہ مخفیانہ طور پہ اٹھایا گیا تھا, لیکن ہاں آ کے دیکھیں آپ نے بیٹے کا جنازہ پڑا ہوا ہے اور عمر بن سعد حکم دے رہا ہے 10 گھوڑے سوار ولنٹیئر آئے اور یہ ملعون آتے ہیں, گھوڑے اس طرح سے دوڑائے گئے. چھٹے امام کا بیان ہے کہ میرے جد حسین کے سینے کی ہڈیاں پشت کی ہڈیوں سے جائے جائے.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون ما تم
يا حسين.